Pastor Roy.
Amen. Well, what a special morning we have. We've celebrated together this morning with breakfast. First of all, who doesn't love breakfast? And then praise and testimonies, songs, now time in the Word. And the only thing that could make this day better would be baptisms. But time does not allow for that this morning. And this morning, I want to share a brief word with you from the Scriptures. So if you have your copy of the Scriptures, if you want to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, if you're visiting with us this morning and maybe don't have a copy of the Scriptures, you can find one in the seat back in front of you, and our text is located on page 828. I'll go ahead and read our text for us this morning, and starting in verse 17, the Scripture says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places." To the choir master with stringed instruments. Upon first glance at this text, as we heard it read this morning, if we don't come to it with any background context, it can give off the impression that it is a simple, kind of trite cliche. It's a great statement. It's beautifully written. It's meant to be sung or prayed. And the message it conveys to us is one of great hope, right? No matter what comes my way, I will rejoice. That idea, that understanding, is really easy to embrace when life isn't throwing much along our way. But then when life does throw us a curveball, when life doesn't go our way, when the things that in the back of our minds we didn't even realize we were holding on to come into our lives, and we're confronted with this idea that, well, I didn't have that in mind when I clung to this promise. We find ourselves reeling, taking a step back, going, man, am I really up for the test here? This text this morning sounds like a wonderful praise service text for us to briefly look through, and it is, not because it's cliche, but what we're going to see hopefully this morning is that what this text offers us is what we most desperately need. It's going to point us back to our good and gracious God, because as I was thinking about our service here this morning, I was thinking about you all, our church family, and then was confirmed in listening to our testimonies here this morning. I think if we're honest, there's probably many of us sitting here in this room who know the right things, who know that we should praise and rejoice in our Lord. And it's not that we're lacking praises or things in our lives to praise God about, but rather there are circumstances and trials and things in our life that cause our hearts and our minds to be consumed with fear, with questions, with hopelessness, temptations, overwhelming thoughts that cause us to wrestle with God. So, my friends, what I want to do this morning is offer you not cliche words from the Scripture, but actually life-giving words that the scripture gives us in our moments of wrestling. So as we look at this text, we find ourselves, many of us, I'm sure, unfamiliar with the prophet Habakkuk. Not much is known about him other than he was a prophet during the time when Israel was divided into two kingdoms and were under the judgment of God for their continual disobedience and rejection of God. And this is the scene Habakkuk paints in his book for us. If you look at chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and justice goes forth perverted." Habakkuk is living in a day where his people, the chosen people of God, they had continually rejected God in pursuit of their own heart's desires. And he's simply trying to live out his faith. And he's asking God to act because he knows that God desires for his people to live in righteousness. But what Habakkuk wasn't ready for was God's response. And that's what we have in this book. It is a book of conversation between Habakkuk and God. And God responds to Habakkuk in verse 5, and he says an incredible thing. He says, "Look among the nations, see and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own." And that doesn't mean much to us today. But in Habakkuk's day, that was utterly unthinkable. Because the people that God is saying, "I'm doing a work here. Habakkuk, I hear your prayer. I'm not sitting idly by. I am raising up an instrument to deal with the very complaint you're bringing to me, but it's not going to go how you think. The people that I'm raising up are more evil than you." And Habakkuk's response in verse 12 gives us some insight into what he's thinking. He says this, "O Lord, are you not from everlasting? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you so idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" This is what Habakkuk is saying. God, I can't fathom this. This doesn't make sense. Everything I know about you is coming into question. So I want to ask you this. Have you ever found yourself there? Has life ever thrown a circumstance your way where everything you thought you knew is coming into question? Everything that you've been taught, some of you, your whole life, everything that you've heard and you've read and you've studied, that you've told other people, that you've taught your children, you find yourself wrestling with God. This is where we find Habakkuk. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I will take my stand at the watchpost, and I will station myself at the tower, and I will look out to see what God will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And what we have for the rest of the book is God responding to Habakkuk's questions. God unfolds before Habakkuk in this vision that he's recorded for us that his perfect, sovereign, good plan is far different than Habakkuk would have ever thought or dreamed or put together for his life or for the situation he was facing. But God is perfectly just in doing that. First of all, because God's sovereign, he tells us. He gets to determine what he wants to do. He's the king. He's the creator. And his sovereignty perfectly matches up and aligns with his goodness and his holiness. And so the flaw is not in God's character in what he's doing as he's answering Habakkuk. He's saying, the problem's not with me, Habakkuk. The problem's with you. Your vision, your understanding is too small to put me into. Secondly, he says to Habakkuk, and in case you're wondering how I could do this, I am not going to overlook evil, but rather I'm going to punish it. And that's chapter 2, is God giving Habakkuk a vision of his punishment on this evil nation. But what I want to point you to this morning is God's instruction to Habakkuk in the middle of all this. Because God's instruction to Habakkuk, who's wrestling with God with the questions of life, is the same instruction he gives to you and to me in our wrestling with God. Look at Habakkuk 2, verse 2. The scripture says this, "And the Lord answered me, 'Write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, so he may run who reads it. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow to you, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. But behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright with him. But the righteous shall live by his faith.'" What was God's instruction to the wrestling Habakkuk? Wait patiently in faith. Trust me. Believe me. Wait for me, because my plans are different than you could have ever fathomed. They're better than you could have ever created. And Habakkuk, it's not your role to understand the entirety of my plan. Your role is to trust me. I find it interesting that God didn't condemn Habakkuk for his questions. And we can take hope in that this morning, friends. Because God doesn't condemn us in our questions. God didn't have to answer Habakkuk's question, but he chose to, and he chose to preserve it for us so that in our questions, when we want God to answer specifics for us, and God is not required to do that, we have a place to turn to hear what God has to say to us. God's reply to Habakkuk is his reply to you and to me in the middle of our questioning, in the middle of our wrestling. Wait for me in faith. The scripture says, "The one who is righteous shall live by his faith." The righteous, the one who is right with God, the one who is to obey his Creator, is to wait patiently in faith. And this is where we find Habakkuk at the end of his conversation with God. Because at the end of this vision where God's given him the grand picture of what he's doing, the end of chapter 2, Habakkuk sees an amazing sight that doesn't answer every specific question he has, but it provides a lot of clarity for him in his mess. Look at verse 20 of chapter 2. It says this, "But the Lord is on his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Habakkuk saw God on his throne, and he realized something. He doesn't share his seat with us. He doesn't give us the same vantage point, and he's not required to. In fact, God owes us nothing. But in his grace, he invites us back to himself and he calls us to live in faith. And somewhere between the end of chapter 2, when Habakkuk sees God on his throne, and the start of chapter 3, God does an amazing work in his heart, because chapter 3 is a prayer and a song flowing out of Habakkuk of confident trust in the Lord. And this is where we find ourselves at the end of our passage that we read at the beginning. So look back at with me at our passage. We're going to start in verse 16. It says this, "I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places." Habakkuk didn't get all of his questions answered. In fact, verse 16 clues us into the reality that Habakkuk's situations didn't change. Habakkuk is sitting here realizing that God is sending a ruthless, murderous army to come and annihilate and take away the people of Israel into captivity. And he's sitting there, and as he contemplates it, the fear, the anxiety, the reality of what's about to happen to him, what's about to happen to the people, what this means for God's promises for all time, it causes him paralysis, it says. But then he says this, "I will quietly wait." Habakkuk's in a different spot now. And it's not because his circumstance changed. It's not because his questions got answered. It's not because God gave him the full picture. It's because he saw God on his throne. And he was able to trust the word that God had just given him. And he pens this beautiful poem at the end that's not cliche, It's not just something we slap on a canvas and we hang up in our home, as wonderful as that is, and we go about our day not thinking about it. No, Habakkuk is living this. The reality for him is that in his lifetime, the fig trees will not bloom. The vines won't produce any more food. Everything else will fail. It's like he's saying this: though the world is falling apart, and the worst things that I could ever imagine come to pass, and though my circumstances never change, my questions never resolve themselves, yet I will determine to do this. I will wait patiently for the Lord. I will rejoice in him and praise him who saves me. And I will trust him. So my friends, my encouragement to you this morning, who find yourself wrestling with God, who find yourself drawn back to God, what are you doing? As I was reflecting on it this week, I think every year at these things, I'm reminded of the fact that whatever year it is, 2023, 2022, 2021, it never goes how I thought it would go to this point. 2023, if you would have said, paint 2023 for me, this isn't the picture I would have painted for this year. And I'm sure in your circumstances and in your life, that's the same. But the encouragement that God gives us in Habakkuk is this: I'm still on my throne. I'm still in control. I'm still aware. I still care. And I'm still working out according to my purposes, and I will fill them. And my friends, we have so much more than Habakkuk had. All Habakkuk had were the words that God had given him. He didn't have the full picture. And while we don't see the full picture today, we see a lot more clearly than Habakkuk did, because we live on this side of the cross. And with Jesus and all that he reveals to us about the Father and about truth and about hope and life and the promises of God and the plan of God that finds its fullness in him, we can stand today that though the fig trees don't blossom anymore, that though the vines don't produce any more fruit, that though the circumstances of your life and my life don't ever find their resolution in what I want, or God's plans don't line up with how I would want them to be, we can find hope in Christ. And it's our job to respond in faith. So the call to us this morning from Habakkuk is that as believers in this world who are waiting on our sovereign and good God, our role is to wait patiently in faith. And may he give us the strength to do that as we go forward. Lord, we come to you this morning thankful for this little book, because it offers to us not answers in specifics for our questions, but God, it answers the bigger question that you want us to know. That though we may not understand, that though we may not even be okay with it, that God, our role is to trust you. And Lord, we find in you one who is trustworthy, who is good, who is kind, who is merciful beyond all measure. And like Habakkuk, though our dreams, our hopes may fail, Lord, we can still rejoice because of Jesus. So God, would we cling to Jesus this morning? We give you thanks. Amen.
Stand, let's respond with our testimonies that all we have is Christ. Let's choose to rejoice in what he's done for us.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet God, I knew.